yourself an original Scott Rouse handout. You know, I could sign it. I could say first edition, and then you know you were here the first time I ever made a handout. So we're going to be talking about gentleness. We just finished a study last week, and we're starting a new study next week, but it just so happens that the people that would be teaching are out of town, so I got a chance to fill the spot, and I'm blessed to be able to take it. So this study is just the 1 week. Next week starts something else, so we've got a lot to cover in a very little time, but I really wanted to talk about this. I was thinking through what to go over, and I think it's always good to look at the fruit of the Spirit, but this was one that I'd just been thinking on recently. What does it mean to be gentle? What does it mean to be gentle in this time where it's so easy to get angered by things, by the news, by the world, by other people? Tension is always very high. Tension, I mean, you see it so much more clearly now online. You see it so much more vividly at work. So what does it mean to stand up and stand strong and be strong in your faith and yet be gentle? How do we have a spirit of gentleness in our combat with the world? How do we have a spirit of gentleness in our fight for what is true and for what is good? So I want to go through all of that, go through and ask some questions of you all. There's a lot of blanks in here. I want to get some input on what you all think about gentleness and then go over some definitions, some synonyms, things like that. And then we have discussion questions on the back. We will break out into discussion groups at the end as well for about 40 minutes. It depends on how long or short I go, I guess. Maybe 5 minutes if we just keep talking in here. But so make sure you look at the back for those. Just how do we apply gentleness to our own lives? Where do we struggle? What does Scripture say about it? So let's go ahead and get started with prayer. Actually, let's get started opening to Isaiah and then prayer. Isaiah chapter 42. The book of Isaiah speaks of the servant of God, and it speaks of the servant of Israel being the servant of God in general. But there are four different passages that kind of hone in on a specific, particular, perfect servant. And that servant is looking forward to Jesus Christ. And there are four passages on that. This is the first of them, Isaiah 42. And it just immediately speaks to the character of the servant of God. It's a good point to start off on, and it'll launch us into our study. So Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. The servant of God is a just servant, and yet he is humble and gentle. So let us pray to our God. Heavenly Father, please be with us now. We know that you are here. We ask that you would open our eyes to see you from your word. We praise you because you are good. You are just, and yet you are merciful. You are gentle towards sinners. You are kind towards us who have no right, no means by which we deserve your grace. And yet, God, you have provided grace upon grace to each one of us, uncountable, even just for today alone. We praise you for your sovereignty and your goodness. Be with us now in this study. Help us to truly see this fruit of the Spirit. Help us to live it out. and help one another live this out. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so gentleness, you see at the very top of the handout, it's got a big blank, gentleness is. So I want to go ahead and ask for three of you, at least, to just give a definition of gentleness, in your own words. Just what is gentleness? What does it mean? It's okay if you say basically exactly the same thing as the person before you said. We all, I think, can generally agree on what it is, but I just want to hear at least three answers for what is gentleness. When you hear it, you know, I need somebody else to talk a little bit here too. So what is gentleness? How would you define it?
Mildness of temper.
Very good. Yes, mildness of temper. So you're not always hot-tempered, hot-headed. It's very mild, very even-keeled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you say you care? Yeah. Yeah, care for somebody else. That tender, loving kindness towards another. Yeah, very good. Yes?
Filtering your reactions.
Very good. So controlling your emotions and your responses. You're not just out and about. The first thing that comes in your mind is what you say. There's a filter there. Very good.
Kindness?
Very good. Exactly. It's kindness towards somebody else. We got to four. We can go to more if you guys want to.
Meekness.
Meekness is, it's actually the same word. If you're reading from, I believe it's the King James, when it lists the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the word is meekness, and it means the same as gentleness. So, very good.
Temperance?
Temperate, yes, temperate. Yeah, exactly, keeping things level, keeping things as they need to be. Not going overboard. So that's some great definitions. You've already moved into some of the synonyms of gentleness. The main one that I could think of is meekness. So that's a very good one to write down. Any other synonyms or antonyms that you can think of? What also is another word or concept for gentleness? And then what's the opposite of it? Sweetness and tenderness, very good. Yeah. Patience, very good. Gentleness requires patience.
The antonym would be coarse and uncaring.
Yeah. Antonym, coarse, uncaring, impatient, unloving, not tender.
Harsh.
Harsh, yeah. Speaking harsh words. Not hard words, we need to speak hard words, but harsh words, exactly. Well, we could probably think of more, but those are very good to start. Gentleness is patience, kindness, tenderness, care, and it is not harshness, it is not being rash, it is not being bitter, it's being sweet. So those are very good. I came across a definition of gentleness that I thought really summed it up very well, all the aspects of it. So gentleness is sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior founded on strength and prompted by love. Sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior, founded on strength and prompted by love. I think this definition really gets at the whole of what gentleness is. It's easy to think of being gentle as, you know, we all kind of intuitively know what gentleness is. You're soft, you know, you're not hard, you're not, you know, hitting somebody, you're giving them a hug. We kind of feel it out, but there's more to it than just niceness. Gentleness is sensitivity of disposition. This doesn't mean that if you are gentle, you are sensitive or overly sensitive. You get offended easily by everything. You just kind of, your feelings are always hurt. Oh, he's just so gentle. You can never say anything hard to him because he's just a gentle little snowflake. No, it's sensitivity for other people. It's being tuned into what other people are feeling, what other people need, what somebody else is going through. The sensitivity is not about my own self. It's focused towards others. That's what gentleness is. It's others focused. So that sensitivity of disposition is you're caring for and you're tuned into what other people are experiencing, what other people are going through, and that controls your actions. What am I going to do? Because I am looking at you and I care about you and I see there's something going on in your life. So now I want to move forward and help you. And that's that next part of it, sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior. So you're sensitive towards another, sensitive towards their needs, towards their feelings, their wants, their desires, whatever's going on, the trials in their life, the sins in their life. And then you move forward with kindness of behavior. Now there's a difference, as we learned a couple months back now, there's a difference between kindness and niceness. Does anybody remember what the distinction is between kindness and niceness? This would have been from maybe back in Ezra and Nehemiah, and I don't know how long ago that was. You lose track, and you just keep going, and you don't remember. But does anybody remember the distinction?
It's like preserving yourself, and being kind is like loving the other person more than yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Being nice is putting on a good face so you don't deal with any problems. I'm just going to be nice to you because I don't want your problems. Being kind is I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, even if that's hard, even if that's rebuke. You're acting in kindness because you care about the other person, not just the southern niceness that brushes over everything and you just kind of move on and you're like, oh, well, glad you're having a good day. You know, hey, how are you doing? I really hope you say good, because if you say bad, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, it's more than that. It's asking how are you really doing, and now acting in a way that is for the other person's good. I think this third section of it, sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior, founded on strength. I think this is extremely important and is... It's something that you don't think about as much with gentleness, I don't think. At least it's something that I hadn't considered as much. Gentleness and meekness are the same thing. It's the same word. They're virtually the same concept. Meekness is often misunderstood for weakness. I mean, you just take the M and turn it upside down, and then you got the word, right? Almost. Weakness, two E's, whatever, it's close. And, you know, you hear meekness and you think, oh, it's weakness, right? Well, that's not the case. I remember my dad, we were listening to Rich Mullins' song, Creed, where he sings the Apostles' Creed. My dad asked me when I was little, he's like, do you know what Creed means? And I was like, yeah, that's like when you, like, you really want something that somebody else has. And he's like, no, that's greed. And I was like, oh, I just thought they meant the same thing. I don't know what it means. The meekness and weakness is the same thing. What is meekness? It's like when you're really weak. Well, no, it's actually not. Meekness and gentleness is strength under control. It's strength, power, influence, authority. Just, you know, whether you're physically strong, whether you have a strength of character, all of that. But it's all under control. If you think of a newborn child, you wouldn't describe them as strong. But that doesn't mean they're automatically gentle or meek. If that newborn child could put you in a chokehold to get what he wanted, he absolutely would. But he can't. That doesn't mean, oh, well, he's gentle. No, it just means he's weak. He's incapable of using his power against you. That's why they cry. They're manipulating you in another way. They're trying to get what they want in a different way. But gentleness is not the lack of strength. Gentleness is not being a pushover and going with the flow and going with whatever's wanted. Gentleness is having the strength to do all sorts of things, for evil or for good, and choosing to use it for the good of others. It's strength that's focused on promoting the greatest good for other people. When you consider gentleness in this way, it puts a different perspective on everything. It's the dog that holds her pup in her mouth, the mouth that could easily take down you or me, and yet it holds it without harming it in any way, no nick, no mark on the skin. It's the horse that's under a bridle, the strength of a horse that is, I mean, if you've ever stood next to a horse, you realize this is a lot bigger than I thought it was, and it's so strong, and yet it's guided by the bridle, and it is gentle, and it follows its leader. It's that strength that's under control and is used then for good. Gentleness is that strength under control. To be gentle is not to never use your strength in any way. It's to use it appropriately at the right times. There are times to be strong. There are times to act. There are times to go to war. There are times to defend your house and your family and your home. And to do so doesn't make you not gentle. To do so means you are acting in the way God has ordained for you to act, using the strength and the means that God has given you to use for the purpose of serving, protecting, or helping other people. It's that strength. You're supposed to have that strength. You're supposed to use that strength, but you use it at the right times. And all of it, at the end of this, it's prompted by love. Gentleness is sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior. It's founded on strength and prompted by love. The reason that we are gentle is because of love. Our love for God. Our love for one another. Not a love for ourselves, but a kindness and a concern and a care and compassion for other people. So if you're thinking about what gentleness is, it is controlled, selfless strength, power, authority, influence, used to promote the greatest good for others. And it's not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. It's not passivity. It's not softness in a sense of, I just go with whatever. I don't take a stand on anything. I never fight back. There is a time and a place to fight back. Yes?
Christ, how we care if you come unto me, all you would have me. I think it's carry the burden.
Mm-hmm.
It's willing to carry a burden.
Yeah.
It's a display of Christ's likeness to carry the burden, especially if it's a burden.
Absolutely. Gentleness is carrying the burden for another. And that's Matthew 11 that you referenced. And if you look at the bottom, there's a Matthew with a blank next to it. One of those is Matthew 11. So, I mean, you can go ahead and write that in if you want to. But, yeah, Matthew 11, at the end, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, there's a book called Gentle and Lowly. And it starts off by saying, there's one passage in Scripture where Jesus reveals to us what his heart is like. And it's that passage, I am gentle and lowly of heart. So Christ himself is gentle towards us and bears our burdens. And so we're called in the same manner to be others focused, to bear their burdens. So that's exactly right. There are a few things, I don't have a spot for this, but it kind of goes in the middle there somewhere. So find some extra space somewhere. But there are some things that are required to be gentle. I think one of them is humility. To be gentle towards another, you have to be humble. Recognize your stance before God and your stance before other people. Are you their judge or are you a co-sufferer? Are you a co-sinner? Are you deserving of the righteousness of Christ, or are you deserving of the wrath of God? And the person that you're talking to or you're dealing with, are they deserving of the righteousness of Christ or the wrath of God? The answer is, we're both deserving of the wrath of God. So to be gentle towards them is to recognize your own sinful state and move towards someone else knowing that, knowing you're not above somebody. If somebody approaches you with a problem, with their sin, with something, you know, if you're in a conflict with them, it's very easy to look down and say, I can't believe you're doing this, I can't believe you're there, when in reality, being gentle towards them is humbling yourself, looking at reality as it truly is, your stance before God, and then moving forward towards that person. I think restraint is a part of gentleness. It's that power, that strength that is restrained. It's very easy to want to just live off of our knee-jerk reactions, our emotions. It's that filter, filtering our responses. It's restraint. It takes self-control to do this. And the last part I have, and feel free to chime in with any others you can think of, but the last one I have is just the fruit of the Spirit. All the fruit of the Spirit really work together. They're all intertwined. Can you have true, meaningful self-control without goodness? Can you have true, real, meaningful patience without kindness? Can you have gentleness towards someone else without self-control? All of them are meaningless, and certainly love. Can you truly be gentle towards someone else if you have no love? Does it mean anything? Yes.
I know in my case, it's hard for me to show gentleness, meekness to anybody without the love of God. You don't have that. It's hard to do it.
Amen. Without the love of God, it's how can we show love? How can we love our brothers and sisters? How can we love anyone if we are not ourselves filled with the love of God? We don't know how. That's exactly right. We receive that from God, and that overflowing of His love in our life allows us to love others. You take that away, what is gentleness? What does it even mean? Yeah.
Hold on, talk about our motivations too. It's the moon, it's the overlooked.
Yeah.
We take the backseat.
Yeah.
Yep. If not, it's seen by all, out of the back.
Yeah, exactly. The willingness to not have to be out front and center. You do what you need to do. You help who you need to help, but you recognize you're not their savior, and you're not the one that everybody needs to turn to. But we deliver the words of Christ, and whoever we deliver that to needs to hear that, not me, not us. But yeah, that's exactly right. I've broken it down into kind of two sections here, gentle in spirit and gentle in action. I also have gentle in speech, and it was hard to figure out where to put that in. I think that falls under action. But being gentle in, you know, how we relate to one another. So starting off with being gentle in spirit, turn to Galatians 6. So this passage follows right after the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The contrast between walking by the flesh and walking by the Spirit. Chapter 6, verse 1 starts off this way. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We start off with that spirit of gentleness. What does it mean to be gentle in spirit, to have a spirit of gentleness?
I guess it has something to do with being walking in the spirit, the help of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Very nature, in your union with Christ, it's just a thing that happens as a result.
Yeah, Walking in the Spirit is being of a spirit of gentleness, right? Walking with God. You can't have a spirit of gentleness without that. You need to be walking with the Spirit. Yes?
Also, it's being lowly in your thoughts and in your actions, not to think of yourself better than others or more highly than you want to think of yourself.
Yeah.
So that will portray the way you handle situations with others, having that, you know, low to control.
Yeah, exactly. Don't think too highly of yourself. Humble yourself. Be humble of spirit. And that is a gentle spirit, is someone who is lowly, who does not see themselves as too highly, higher than they ought, seeing themselves rightly.
These verses have what you have been talking about, humility, and then the action, the bearing of the burdens, and then thinking of yourself rightly. Verse 3.
Yeah. Yeah, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's verse 3. That's exactly right. And yeah, the passage speaks to both gentle in spirit and then gentle in action. The spirit is be humble of spirit. The action is moving forward towards another in their suffering. Any other thoughts on being gentle in spirit? What does that mean?
It assumes there, like she just said, it assumes that you're nothing
apart from Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the stance is, I am nothing apart from Christ. I have nothing apart from Christ. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing in myself.
That Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
He is there. Without him, we can't do nothing.
Right. Without me, you can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches, and apart from that, we're a bunch of dead sticks on the ground. Can't do anything. Yeah, I think being gentle in spirit, it just has to do with where is your heart? How do you view yourself? How do you view other people? And that really is key to being gentle in your actions, because what is in your heart will come out. Where does it come out first? From your speech. So what does it mean to be gentle in your speech? It starts in the heart. Be gentle of heart and your speech will be gentle. Self-controlled words, exactly.
Slow to speak,
exactly. There's all sorts of patience that comes with gentleness. Not just saying exactly what you think right away, because that is so often wrong. It's our knee-jerk reactions are most of the time sinful. Our knee-jerk reactions are all the time sinful. I think that's probably better. I don't know. You train your conscience and you train it to your knee-jerk reactions to be holy, but it's hard. It is a hard fight. Yeah, being gentle in our speech means not that we just kind of go with whatever anybody says, but we really seek to move towards other people with understanding. We seek to listen. We view them as a co-sufferer, so they're not alone. We're right there with them. You and I are in this struggle together. It's treating people as a co-sinner. They're not alone in their sin. You and I are right there alongside one another, sinning. Being gentle is recognizing that and speaking in such a manner. It's showing mercy and grace with your words, sympathizing, understanding. There's a lot of listening, asking questions, trying to truly get at the heart of what someone is experiencing, feeling, going through. I think that's a big part. We're so quick to speak, we speak against what is false, and we speak the truth, and that is wonderful. But I think there are so many times where we're even too quick in that sense, where we're not truly hearing the struggles of somebody else. It's very easy when somebody is wrong, and you know they're wrong, to just yell the truth at them. And they don't listen, and you keep yelling the truth louder, and you think that if I yell the truth louder, that'll make it more real to them, so then they'll listen. There's a time to yell. You know, if someone's standing in the middle of the street and the car's coming and they don't know, hey, excuse me, there's a car on the way. It might run you over if you don't move. No, you can. There's a time for yelling. There's a time for speaking forcefully. But a spirit of gentleness is recognizing what words does this person need to hear now and how do they need to be presented for this person to best receive them. How can I best formulate these words, these questions, in order to deliver it so that the person will hear? Now, we know the Word of God speaks for itself. If you preach the Word, it's not going to come back void. God will use His Word regardless of who is speaking it. But our goal in truly helping one another is to learn how to better and better present the truth of God through words that are ready to be received by the hearer. That means if you are struggling, let's say there's a family situation, somebody is really mad at their mother and father. And so they see that because their mother and father are doing this, they are able to now dishonor their father and their mother. Well, I mean, our knee-jerk reaction is, okay, there's a commandment about that specifically. Don't do that. You cannot dishonor your father and mother. And we need to be clear on telling them that. But the person who is suffering, struggling, and sinning, you want to make sure that you get through the right truth to them where they can hear it. Let's say that person comes in for counseling, or they just come up to you and they're talking to you about it. If your knee-jerk reaction is to say, you're pretty stupid. The Bible says that's bad, so you are just, I mean, the worst. Like, I can't believe you would do that. Are you correct? Yes. Is that person going to take those words and go, oh, you're right. You know, I'm really upset about this. I need to just chill. I am stupid. They're probably not going to react like that right away. If they do, it's a miracle. That's great. But most likely, they're set up, they're angry, and they're right. So what you need to do is not meet them in combat. Meet them where you can softly and gently turn away wrath. A soft word turns away wrath, right? Proverbs tells us. A gentle word can break a bone. We want to present the truth of God to others in a way that they are going to hear and understand and know. And that means being gentle in our speech. What is the best thing that this person needs to hear right now? And that moves directly into gentleness of action. What can I do that will best serve this person that I am with? What can I do to best provide for them? What can I do that will best help them? You're thinking of how you're relating to this person. You know, what can I do with my power, with my strength, with my authority, with my influence that is going to serve and honor and bless the person that I am working with? And not how can I use these things to get my own way? Yeah.
The plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that understanding is a part of this whole narrative of being able to take his heart and have that compassion for that person and know it. Don't speak before the time when they get it all out, they get it all on the table, you draw all out of it, and then go for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The heart is like deep waters, and a man of understanding will draw it out. It's that understanding and that care, that compassion. I really care about what's in your heart. So I'm willing to sit and take the time and work to ask and to draw that out so we can really deal with what's going on in your life, what's going on in your heart. I put down practical gentleness and practical shortcomings. You know, what does a gentle person look like? We've discussed that pretty well. What does it look like to not be gentle? I think for sake of time, these are things that you can write down, discuss in the groups, in the breakout groups. But just think in terms of, you know, we all struggle in different ways with being gentle. Maybe it is verbally we argue. Maybe we're arguing with truth and we're arguing the right things, but we're arguing in a way that is abrasive. So you're arguing against a pro-abortion advocate that is, you know, they're standing outside with a sign. They're geared and set to fight you. I mean, they're coming with that mindset. And if you go out and you fight them and your words are just as harsh, are you going to change anyone's mind? In that case, it really would truly be a miracle of God if anything changed right then and there. It's always a miracle of God when someone's mind is changed, but the way that you go about that is not to fight and combat. It's to, okay, I need to tone down my words and I need to show this person that I care about them and then move forward with the truth. Move forward with that gently to bring them alongside so you can say, this is the truth that I have been, that's been revealed to me by God. That's by His grace that I know this, and I want to show it to you. Not, you're wrong, you're going to hell in a handbasket, and everything is wrong with you, you're what's wrong with America, you're what's wrong with the world, I can't believe you. You know, that's not at all going to receive any kind of positive, helpful dialogue. So just in terms of what does it look like to be gentle, and then what are your shortcomings? I know that when I was younger, my shortcoming was more on the physical side of, you know, I have a little brother and two sisters, and very quickly I was the biggest and strongest. And my brother and I, we used to hit each other when we were little. You know, our parents didn't like teach us to do that. We just did that anyway. They taught us not to. So I know that Mom and Dad, you taught us not to do that. We didn't. You know, we weren't following your orders. We were sinning. But I remember a time where we were watching a movie, and Peter, my brother, was making some comments. He was upset about something, that we were watching the movie or whatever, and he was making some snarky comments. And I was getting pretty fed up with him. And I was laying down on the ground, and he was in this chair. And the second the credits hit, he made some snarky comment, and I just got so mad. I leaped up, and I lunged toward him. And I felt that sinful nature, like I used to do this when we were, you know, I hadn't done it for a while. I hadn't lashed out like that, but I did this, and I lashed out, and I jumped towards him, and I was going to grab him and shake him. Completely sinful, but that's just the knee-jerk reaction of sin. I had not trained my heart to not get to that point. But I stopped just short of touching him at all. I was able to stop myself and say, I need to be, you know, this is not going to solve anything. This is sinful. So I stopped, and it was very hard, but I stopped. And it was, you know, that was good, and it was, I needed to stop. And then Peter proceeded to kick me as hard as he could in my gut, and I went down like a rock. I mean, it was immediate. It was like, I lunged at him, I stopped, I'm like, okay, I know this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this, this isn't good, and then just immediately, right in the stomach, and I went down, and it was, you know, it was fully deserved. He was seeing me lunge at him, and he was just, I'm coming right back at you. So he took me out, and I was like, well, I can't be mad at him, I started this, I lunged at him. But that, you know, that's the knee-jerk reaction. I'm not going to be gentle. I'm going to force you, and I'm going to grab you, and I'm going to say, I'm stronger than you, so please stop bugging me. Please stop bothering me. Do what's right. And then I very quickly received the justice of God immediately from my brother's foot. It was quick. But even in reconciling that, you know, writhing on the ground in pain, he ran off and he was pretty young at that time, but he still could kick. And I remember I went up and I wanted to talk to him, and I realized I'm not going to get through to him if I, you know, argue about that he shouldn't have kicked me, because duh, like, obviously that makes complete sense. But I asked his forgiveness for lunging at him, even though I didn't do anything. I didn't touch him. I didn't hurt him. But I asked his forgiveness for that. And through that, he asked forgiveness for kicking me in the stomach. And I said, you know, I understand why you did it. It's brothers and we're fighting and that's just part of being sinful. But just that going to him and realizing I need to ask for forgiveness. I don't need to force him to ask for forgiveness. I need to ask for forgiveness. And that's what softened his heart to then open up to me. And we talked about it and it was good. This is like a week ago, so pretty long time ago. but that, you know, just think through in your life, where do you struggle and where do people in general fall short, and then where do you personally fall short? By God's grace, I don't lunge at people. You know, that's something that is in my childhood that's long gone. But I struggle with gentleness in other ways. One of them is by being passive and by not speaking and not using my voice, my influence, my friendships to bless and help other people. It's to just kind of leave things alone. That's not gentleness. That's just passiveness and laziness. So think through that. Think through what is the example, what is the bad example. And then down there, second to last, is Christ's perfect example. That Isaiah passage there is Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3, I believe, which is then quoted in Matthew chapter 12, which is the next one, that next blank there, Matthew chapter 12. This passage is quoted exactly. This is a situation where Jesus has withdrawn because the Pharisees were trying to figure out how to take him out. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and he ordered them not to make him known. It says this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. This is the character of Jesus. A broken reed, it's very easy. You see a broken stick, and it's like, I'll just finish the job. Just snap that off. A wick that is going out, it's easy. You know, this isn't starting a fire. I'm just going to blow it out and be done with it. Christ is not so. He cares for the broken. He cares to redeem that which seems irredeemable. He's not going to just break and extinguish. He's going to build up and restore and redeem. Because he is truly gentle, and he cares for us. It says, he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. This doesn't mean that Jesus never spoke forcefully. It certainly doesn't mean he never spoke publicly. He obviously did. This means he's not just clamoring and shouting and saying what he wants and like folly, crying aloud in the streets to no one and just proclaiming his own, you know, selfish nonsense. Because if you look in chapter 11, he declares, he starts to denounce these cities where most of his mighty works had been done. Chapter 11, verse 20. He starts saying, woe to you, to these cities. He's clearly crying aloud, and he's clearly crying forcefully towards these cities. But that doesn't mean he is not gentle. He is speaking the word of God with the appropriate force at the appropriate time. And then in Matthew 11, verse 28, as we heard before, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Christ's call to us is, come to me, because I am gentle. If you come to Christ, whenever you come to Christ, whenever you go before him, he will only deal with you gently. His discipline is gentle discipline because it's exactly what you need in exactly the measure you need it. His love and his mercy is exactly what you need, and he cares for you in the exact way that he needs to. He knows you and me better than we know ourselves. And he is gentle enough not to smite us when we turn 1 hour old because we've already sinned. He's certainly just not to smite us in our teenage years. And he's merciful not to smite us now, although he could, and he, you know, if we look at it rightly, he very well should. But he is gentle. He is merciful. He cares about our good. Hebrews chapter 5 speaks to this as well when talking about the high priest. Verses 1 and 2, it's talking about the high priest, and Christ is our great high priest. And he fulfills this perfectly. But it says, for every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So the high priest is the representative of men. He understands and he identifies with the men. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. The priests were to deal gently, and ideally, I mean, that's what they were called to do, deal gently with the sinners that came to them to offer sacrifices. They could have easily dealt harshly and said, you did that? Okay, I guess I'll offer that sacrifice for you, but I can't believe that. They dealt gently with the ignorant, with the sinners, because he himself is beset with weakness. Christ himself was beset with human weakness. He entered into our lives. He entered into flesh and bone. He became like us in every way. He experienced the physical and human limitations. He himself was beset with our human weakness. Not sin, but our human weakness, so that he could gently deal with us as our great and kind and loving and merciful high priest. That's what he came to do. He is our gentle, lowly, merciful high priest, able to sympathize with us in all our weakness. To wrap up very quickly and then going to the discussion groups, our call to follow. Christ is our example to follow, but Scripture calls us to be gentle. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 talks very clearly about this when it's talking about the qualifications for elders and deacons. And it says the man of God must not be violent, but gentle. He must not be trying to impose his way and harm others. He must deal gently with sinners. And then 1 Timothy 6 verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. The command is very clearly, pursue these things. Gentleness is not just a state or a character trait or just a way that you naturally are. You know, I'm just not as gentle a person. That's just how God made me, so I can't be as gentle. I'm just typically more rough. Well, maybe you're more inclined to that sin, but that doesn't mean it's just part of your personality. Gentleness is something to pursue and to pursue wholeheartedly. And then Galatians 5:22 and 6:1-2, which we already looked at, it's putting on the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is something you put on and you walk by. It's not something that comes just by itself. It's something that we pursue as God gives us the strength and His Spirit is in us producing this fruit. We are to continue to walk out and live out this fruit. Gentleness is not a spiritual gift. It's not something where some people are just gifted with it and some people aren't. It's something that all of us are called to do. We're all called to be gentle, to live out gentleness. We'll move from there into our discussion groups, but any final words or thoughts on any of that before we break up? Yeah.
Yes, moving from where I was living in that at the moment seven situations, how we make that transfer for the last verse of 25 of Romans 7, and then move right into where the love of God that would substitute my sin for His righteousness. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus. Mm. That is gentleness.
Yeah. That's the gentleness of God to, there is now no condemnation. Amen. He's not looking to judge us and condemn us. He now lovingly disciplines and guides us because He is gentle and cares for us. So, amen. Yeah.
We have to be walking in the Spirit. We're walking in our flesh.
Exactly. Walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. And then if we are not being gentle, we got that big log in our eye, and we take it out for what purpose? To help your brother who has the speck. That's the purpose. Take out the log because you need to, for the purpose of helping your brother. Because that's what gentleness is about. It's, I need to humble myself and then still move forward and act. So that's exactly right. Walk by the Spirit so that you can best bless others, be gentle towards others, and you can be best honoring God in all of that. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll break up into groups. We got about 20 minutes or so. So I don't know who breaks up to where. I've never broken you all up into groups before, so... you just get to do that on your own. Wonderful. Youth, I will take you all, Maggie and I will take you all to the youth room. And yes, all the discussion questions are on the back. So for the next 20 minutes, let's discuss those and look to Christ as our perfect example of gentleness.